It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed reporting from Galveston, Texas. We have moved to Galveston, Texas for good reason. The citizens of Galveston are going through a long-term recovery. And yeah, the city has done a pretty good job of cleaning up the streets and maybe the touristy areas, but inside the walls of the houses of the people that live here, the residents, the ones that go to work here, their kids go to school here, that's a different story. So we are planning on being here as long as people keep sending church groups and there's still funds available and things to give away and people to help. We will stay. As long as God wants us to stay, we will be here. And this is an interview that I've been looking forward to. Some of you may remember about a year ago, we did a two-part interview with Jay Hayslip, one of the top skateboarders in the nation. Well, actually is still a pro skateboarder, but also a pastor of an incredible church of action. And we're talking about the Sanctuary in Huntington Beach. Now, let me tell you something. These guys are not just an unusual church in the fact that they stand out. They get some attention, not by being controversial, but by being Christians. They don't act like Christians. They are Christians, and they make an impact on their community. Well, wouldn't you figure they were one of the first groups that signed up for church registration to come to Friendships and help out hurricane victims. And Rick Antione is here with us today representing the Sanctuary. Actually, are you just a member of the Sanctuary?
I'm actually a deacon at the Sanctuary.
A deacon.
And I'm here with another deacon and one of the ushers from our church and one of the children's ministry leaders.
Okay, we're going to get probably a couple more of you guys in here because you guys have a lot to talk about. And I really doubt, Rick, if we're going to be able to cover everything in one program. But let's start with this. What do you guys know about hurricanes in California?
Not much. Being a surfer myself, we just know that it brings up some waves from the Mexico area. But other than that, it's just pretty much from watching TV and just seeing the devastation that it brings to local communities.
What piqued your interest to come to Galveston, Texas and help out?
I think one of the things is, you know, we don't really get many catastrophes.
Earthquakes
once in a while. I mean, we even had a 6.2 and it didn't do much damage.
Okay.
The weather is pretty much sunny every day. So we don't really have a lot to complain about as far as that goes. And God put it on my heart when I saw that Hurricane Ike was hitting Galveston, actually before it even hit. So I didn't even know it was going to be as big as it was.
Yeah.
But God was already preparing my heart to go out and help if we needed to. And something our church hasn't done yet as far as doing relief work. And then it hit, and I was like, wow, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
I think it was TBN, kind of on in the background. I was getting ready to go to church, and I heard something about the hurricane. I think it was Don Tipton.
Yes.
And I ran over there and I was like, wow, this might be the opportunity. And God opened the door up and it was just, I actually went straight to church and said, you know, Pastor, would you be willing to send us there? And he said, 100% we'll back you up. And I made a call. I think your wife answered the phone, Ann. And the three other men that came with me just were like, let's do this. And it was just so easy.
From the time you saw that, you went into church, you went straight to the pastor, or did you find other people to join
you? I went straight to the pastor within 20 minutes of seeing that show.
Okay.
And then right after I talked to him, I went to the guys, the other brothers, and said, would you guys be willing to go? And they're like, let's do it.
Wow.
So it was just amazing. I mean, obviously it was a God thing because the doors opened up.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Like it was just a simple act of obedience.
Amen. I encourage everybody to be obedient to the Lord's calling.
Yeah.
Even if it's taking you someplace where it's the unexpected, you don't even know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You just go.
Yeah. Well, if you had it all laid out ahead of time and you knew exactly what was in place, you'd just be following a structure. And we do that in business. We do that in our families. But what does that have to do with faith? You know what I mean? If you knew everything ahead of time, you wouldn't really have to put that trust in God the way it needs to be. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, I definitely do. And I also think that you might get fear or you might get scared and be like, wow, that sounds actually kind of hard. I think it's better if you just let the Lord guide your footsteps and just go, you know, and not really give it too much thought. So then you can start just working it up in your mind, like, oh, well, that sounds uncomfortable to sleep on a boat or to work, 12 hours a day or whatever you might be doing. But
great point. Maybe that's what the Lord was talking about when he was talking about being childlike, because as adults, sometimes we rationalize and try to figure it out ahead of time before we move, and we come up with a lot of excuses not to do anything. Where the child will just go do it and try and figure it out later.
That's exactly, it's funny you say that, because there's a boy here named Luke. I think he's about 14 or 15. Okay. And his sister Hannah is here working with you guys. And I watched him work today, and he just goes. He doesn't even think about it. He ran in just about an hour ago and pulled out this refrigerator out of the house that hadn't been opened in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
No mask, no gloves, and he didn't care. He had that childlike attitude about it.
Well, you came in here probably with not a whole lot of expectations of what was going to happen, and it probably was a little different than you imagined. What was your first impression of Galveston when you got here?
We got in at night, but we started to see the boats washed up against the seawall off the freeway. And that kind of started to bring just to like how devastating it was seeing big boats washed up on the street.
Yeah.
And then we started to see the piles of debris. Okay. And we're like, okay, this is pretty serious, because the media really didn't cover it a lot.
Yeah.
In California, I didn't see a lot about it. I just knew that it was a big one.
Yeah, from what the locals were saying, the winds came in like a category 2, maybe a 3, but the flood waters were more like a 4 or 5, and you're seeing evidence of that, and you guys have been on the ground. Your team has been going out to the houses and doing some of the cleaning out and gutting some of the drywall. Why don't you explain what a typical day is?
Our first day, the Lord gave us probably the biggest job we've had so far, and that was going, they've all been big jobs in different ways, but we went into a basement. Most of the homes are built on 6 feet above the ground on stilts.
Yeah.
But this gentleman had all of his stuff stored underneath, and it was just a dirt floor. So you can imagine it was just a big muddy mess.
Yeah.
And everything was completely underwater. So we pulled out a whole household of his personal belongings and brought it out to the curb. And it was heartbreaking.
Was it all ruined?
Is there everything. Yeah. Now, I think there was maybe 4 or 5 items that he saved, and we brought it to the curb, and he was pretty good about it all day. He was helping us. And then at the end of the day, when he saw it all out on the sidewalk, it was about 100 feet long of stuff. It really hit him hard. And, but, obviously God was touching him as well.
Yeah. It does get real personal. Even though it is in our lives laying out on the curb, you see somebody's family photo album or the kids' toys out there, and you're like, man, if your heart doesn't go out to somebody that is broken like that, then you must be dead. I mean, this is a time of need, and you know what? It's a great time just to simply listen to people. Have you made some friends out there?
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about, is God connecting us all through love and just seeing, I think the people are more happy about that God has answered their prayers, and 100% of the people that we've helped pray to the Lord, they're believers.
Wow.
Different denominations, so there's no walls.
Amen.
God, listens to everyone's prayers, and they all love Jesus. And just the fact that somebody came out to respond to their needs, and you see them, their eyes get watery over that, it makes it all worth it, that the Lord hasn't forgotten them or forsaken them.
Yeah. It restores their value. They realize that they're not alone.
Amen.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of people that have been in prison, sometimes for years. They don't get a letter. They don't get a visit. One person, whether it be a prison ministry or just a friend, just to show up. You don't have to do anything, really, just to be there. Oh, man, that's like gold, Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's like confirmation to them. The Lord is still working in their lives.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you've had opportunity to pray with people. Are you seeing hope come back, or is it more of a breaking and crying?
Both.
Really?
Yeah, but I would say it ends with restoration and like you said, hope coming back, their faith building up. I come from a church, we pray a lot. And so for us, we're just praying all day with these people, and we'll just stop in the middle of what we're doing, and we can just tell that person needs prayer at that moment, trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that situation, and then always closing in prayer. And you just see the people's face light up, you know, and that's just, you see God touching them right in front of you, and that's just amazing.
Now, you know, with the hurricanes, and it may go with earthquakes as well, there's an age-old argument. Was this from God, or was it from the devil? Have you run into those people that want to blame God for this, or is it?
I haven't got one person yet that's blamed the Lord.
Amen.
But I haven't really got them either to share why this happened. Yeah. So, but I haven't heard anybody blame them, which has really been just amazing to me.
Yeah.
Not one person has blamed God for this.
Well, thank goodness. Because, you know, I was really afraid that we equate the things that we have with a blessing or God's caring, when really it's all about His presence, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we want to take a short break here, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the sanctuary, because there's a lot of exciting things going on there, and, you know, it's fanning out throughout the nation. They're getting a lot of attention, but we'll talk about that when we come back. Is that all right with you?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back. And now a word from Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
God told Jeremiah that before He formed him in the womb, He knew him and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. When the Apostle Paul came to know Jesus, he was told that he had been appointed as a servant and a witness, that he should go to Damascus, and there he would be told all that he had been assigned to do. The Bible contains many examples of people called by God to do something specific. In fact, Ephesians says that we're saved by grace to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Psalms tells us that all the days of our lives were written in the book before one of them came to be. Isaiah said he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me." When the Lord asks you, "Who will go for us?" do you say, "Please, Lord, send me"?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to friendships.org. Okay, we're back with Rick Antion from the Sanctuary Church in Huntington Beach, California, and they have come out to Galveston, Texas to help clean houses and just bless people. You know what, Rick, before we go any farther, I want to ask you, how does it feel to help people that you've never met before?
It's incredible. It's just awesome to be used for God's glory and advancing His kingdom, that He's given us all a purpose to go out and just share His love. We don't even have to verbally preach the gospel. Just by doing His work, we're doing that. And that, to me, is just the biggest blessing.
And if you remember at the beginning, that's what I was saying about the sanctuary, is not acting like Christians, being difference makers in their community and, well, now throughout the United States, maybe the world in the future, who knows. But let's talk about the sanctuary, because, like I said, about a year ago, the sanctuary was having their 5th anniversary, and that was quite a big deal. Very quickly has the sanctuary grown. 5 years is very young for a church. What do you attribute the rapid growth and attention? What's going on at the sanctuary that we need to know about?
Well, actually, November, I think, 4th is our 6-year anniversary.
Okay.
And it's basically, we're a church that is a church for the unchurched. Yeah. Most of our members are people who have never been to church before. So it's these just radical transformations of new believers that come from some pretty diverse backgrounds. And God is using people that, you know, you would never think the Lord would use to go out and do His work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a sign of the end of times coming, when
yeah.
the gospel spread everywhere. And He's starting to use skateboarders and surfers and punk rockers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and our church is
kind of reminds you of the disciples.
Yeah.
Being fishermen and tax.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think when the community starts to see, you know, radical changes in people through Jesus Christ, they start to go, wow, you know, this is
yeah.
for real. God is for real. Let's go check out this church and see what's going on there.
Okay, so you guys don't really adopt a typical model for, let's say, a mega church. It seems to be real popular these days. There's a certain criteria and model that people try to fashion themselves after to bring more people in. Unfortunately, a lot of times that waters the message down. How do you guys deliver truth?
You know, our mission statement is, there's 4 points, is to win souls, yeah. grow deep spiritual root, unity through fellowship, or going to church, and then outreach. And, you know, God has given our pastor a vision. He left Alabama, he was preaching there, he had some good opportunities, and he left everything and went out to California. You know, the Holy Spirit's really moving there. There's a sincerity among the believers during the worship, and the messages that, It's just really hard to go to that church and live a sinful life without being convicted.
Oh,
okay. You know, and you walk in there and you can just feel something's different. And I can tell you from my own personal walk, when I started going to church, started going to the sanctuary, which was really where my walk with the Lord started. I had one foot in, one foot out.
Yeah.
And I was going, twice a week, and there's just no way I could face the Lord in the sanctuary and not just surrender it all to Him. And it's just, you just know God is moving in that place. And the sermons and the messages just lay it all out. And
That's it. I think that's what I was trying to look for, because our interviews with Jay, your pastor, seem to be this naked honesty. That's necessary for repentance, wouldn't you say? Are you guys afraid of talking about repentance?
No, not at all. there's a big transparency there from the pastor who spearheads this church, so it allows the congregation to move that way too and be open and bring it all to the altar and just leave it there and just give it all to the Lord.
Okay.
And there's no judgment. Anybody's welcome,
Yeah. Well, we noticed that your involvement within is definitely focused outward, and you do this in some unusual ways. In skateboarding, you have the Uprising. Why don't you tell us about that briefly? Because we could talk a whole program about this.
Yeah, I'll give you a brief synopsis. The Uprising was a vision that Pastor Jay had, and it's a skateboarding outreach. Basically, he goes out and sets up events that bring kids to the Lord through skateboarding and music.
Yeah.
Sometimes there'll be several thousand that'll come to the Lord at an event. And then it's also gone out into a reality show called The Uprising.
Really?
It's just premiered. Last week was the first episode on steelroots.com. We're also the Steel Roots show on Inspirational Network.
Yeah.
And it's Pastor Jay, Christian DeSoy, and Brian Sumner, who are all well-known skaters, and they go out throughout the skate community and minister the gospel to the youth. And that's another outreach that we're doing.
Okay, can they link to that from your website, thesanctuaryhb.com?
Yeah, they can find the link right there on the front page.
Let's also quickly talk about your surf ministry, because that's an unusual thing.
Yeah, we have a surf ministry that opens the door to that whole other sport. Mm-hmm. And we set up at the beach on Saturday mornings, and all are welcome. We have food, we pray, we surf together, and we just fellowship. And we also have a prison ministry, which that's an amazing outreach to go throughout the prisons. We do it through Bill Glass Ministries, and that's growing.
That?
Yeah, I do it myself. It's gone from about 2 members to about 20 members that are doing it now within about 2 years. People are really stepping out and being bold and courageous.
You know, there's something about prison ministry that scares the heck out of people. But once they go, that's it, right? And you find that it's nothing like what the Lord blesses you, gives you words to speak, and the fear melts away. Don't you find that?
Yeah, I was pretty scared the first time I went, because I've tried all my life to stay out of prison. And through God's mercy and grace, He's kept me out of there, but only to bring me back.
Yeah.
And, I guess He had a big plan for me in regard to that. But when I went in there the first time, I was like, wow, there's some hurting people here who are just, they're calling upon Him as well, just like they are down here in Galveston. And I think a lot of them see it as God answering their prayers.
Yeah. Also, you have Celebrate Recovery.
Yes, every Friday. Celebrate Recovery is there's probably 50 people that go to that. So that's been amazing. We have Kingdom Builders, which is a men's group. Blazing Hearts is a women's ministry, and we also have an evangelism team that goes out in the street throughout our community in Huntington Beach, where, like I said, it looks like everything is great. We live on the beach, it's sunny, beautiful homes, but there's a lot of brokenness, and so that's been amazing as well.
Yeah. Well, if people were going to pray for, say, the churches of California, what would you ask them to specifically pray for?
Just for the church body to wake up. Because it is like the Wild West, out there, and anything goes, anything's accepted.
Yeah.
And, the whole Hollywood thing, and everybody's really, I hate to say it, but it's a self-seeking environment.
Yeah.
And I pray that more people will go out and reach out to the community and use their platforms that God has given them, their talents, whether it's skateboarding, music, video, radio, any sport, art, and just go out there. I mean, it's Hollywood. We have a big platform we can reach. So, I pray that more people access that and take the opportunity to reach out in our communities.
Well, we have some listeners that may be listening, and you say, well, listen, I don't really have any big talent. I'm not a skateboarder. I sure don't know how to surf. What can I do in the kingdom? What kind of advice would you give that person to take that first step of faith?
Well, first of all, I believe that every church has some type of way to reach the community. And I think that God has given us all a talent, and even though you don't think you have them, but I think your mouth and the Holy Spirit working in you, just going out and just talking to people, and just loving people and using the creativity God has given you to just explore that and just pray about it and ask the Lord to show you how He can use you. And I believe he'll definitely answer that prayer. And it might be something that you never thought you could use as a tool. And then next thing you know.
Amen. And then, you know, I'll add a little something to that. Maybe you're not a skateboarder. You know what? Get with somebody that is doing something. Somebody that is a Bible-believing outreach that is making a difference in your community. Help them. By helping them, you will find many different avenues that God can use you in. And, you know, it'll get you started.
It opens the door.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's bring this back to Galveston. You came as a church group, but you also teamed up with Friendships. You guys have been able to set out and kind of find your own way, or how's that working?
Well, basically, we're given assignments.
Okay.
And the local community fills out a form and says what they need. And I've noticed that we've been helping mostly the elderly first. And that's pretty much, I think, I don't know, people drive by the tents here and see people eating and they stop and ask for help. And and they just send us out on little mission trips every day. So we don't know what we're going
to. How do you think this trip to Galveston has changed you?
It's just opened my eyes. I was just praying to the Lord earlier about, I was thanking him for what he's provided for all of us and the lives that he's given us, because I see a lot of people down here who don't have it so well. And it's just opened my eyes to how the world needs us, even in our own backyard. I know a lot of us go to other countries, but, you know, there's people that need us right here in the United States. And it's just shown me that, you know, we need to think outside of the box and get out of our daily routine and just really open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and just see what the needs are out there. And you can find a need any day in this country, you know. And it might just be going out and serving food in your local community one day. And that's just, you know, and my brothers that are with me are just so blessed to see God working through all of us, through you guys. And
yeah, well, you know, there comes that fine line, and people may be listening, hey, you guys are all about works. You know, maybe you're trying to make God happy through works. I don't think that's what you're trying to do here, is it?
No. We're really just trying to show the love of Christ, and the work is a tool.
Yeah.
You know, it blesses people, but it's just showing them that the Lord is present. He is here. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, in your times of helping other people, have you come across a story that has touched you that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, it's actually a conglomeration of almost every home we've gone to has had pictures of Jesus or crosses. You know, like I said, there's all denominations. So
yeah.
I saw some tapestry of the Last Supper on one wall, and all these things were underwater with waves crashing on them. I mean, microwaves were knocked over, refrigerators were knocked over, and not one of these images of the Lord or Bible verses that are on the wall have come down. Oh. And they even look dry.
Wow.
They don't look like they were even in the water. One was held on by a little yellow tack, and right next to it, the refrigerator was completely knocked out of the wall. And when these homeowners show you that, they start to weep. And I was sharing this with my wife, Katrina, and she said, you know, that's just showing them that the Lord can withstand anything.
Yeah.
And that's just maybe a little sign that the Lord says, you know what, I am Jesus is the rock, and nothing is going to knock your faith down if you have it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's just been like, that's a blessing to see.
So you were seeing this not just one house, too many houses for it to be a coincidence.
95% of the homes.
Oh, man. Amazing.
It is amazing.
And you know what? If you want to get an idea of what he's talking about, this will give me an opportunity to say this. We've got news broadcasts now. We're tying into the radio program. You can find on GodTube and YouTube. It's called On the First Watch, and it's put on by Friendships. It'll give you some visuals of what's going on here in Galveston, but there will be some pictures of these homes with refrigerators and mud and everything. You really get a deeper understanding of what he's telling you right here. I mean, it is simply amazing to see these things still there.
It has to be.
It's
amazing. They're miracles, you know.
Absolutely. You know, we're running out of time. Actually, we're a little over time, but we're never going to run out of time for a scripture of the day. So do you have something with you that has meant something to you over the years or that is appropriate for this time right now?
Yeah, there's a scripture that's kind of been just going through my mind while I'm, you know, doing this relief work. And it comes from Deuteronomy 31:8. And it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged."
Hey. Amen. 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 Why does that mean so much to you right here, right now?
Like I was saying before, that he hasn't forsaken his people. And I think that he's given him that hope, people to stay encouraged, that the Lord is right there with him. He's answering all their prayers. And
Amen.
Every one of them has told me that they've been praying, and then he sends us.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and we got to stay in touch, all right?
Amen.
All right. Well,
God, thank you very much. It'll be our pleasure. So thank you, and God bless your ministry.
Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Join us again next time, where we bring you interviews of people that are impacting your world for the love of Christ. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.